Our story begins in the bedroom of our young hero Ash. Tomorrow, he will be embarking on his Pokemon journey. That is, if he doesn't oversleep, since it's late and Ash isn't even ready for bed. Instead, he is watching a challenger take on the Champion League until his door swings open and a disapproving face pokes its head in. But in this timeline, it is not Delia Ketchum, but his twin brother Paul, who snaps at him to turn the TV off and go to sleep. If Ash wants to waste his own time watching wannabes fail, that's fine. But now he's impacting on Paul's ability to sleep, and Paul won't have a bar of that. He reminds Ash that they need to be up bright and early to get all the way from Veilstone to Sandjet Town, and that if Ash isn't ready, Paul will leave him behind. Ash tells Paul to get off his case, and says he'll be ready before Paul's even out of bed. Paul replies that he better be, then bids his brother goodnight. But Ash can't sleep after this, so goes out to the backyard where his older brother Reggie is tending to a newly hatched Ponyta. He helps Reggie bottle feed the little fire type, and Reggie compliments how he's already figured out how to interact without burning himself. He then shows off the fingers of his left hand, which have some old burn scars, and laughs about his own early days. Ash says Paul actually taught him how to do this, and this makes Reggie smile, saying that beneath his gruffness, Paul really does have a caring heart. Ash agrees, and the pair work in silence for a while. Eventually, Reggie asks Ash if he's ready for tomorrow, and Ash eagerly declares that he is, asking if Reggie is also ready to earn his final Frontier symbol. Reggie gives his younger brother a thumbs up, saying he's ready to become the best Frontier brain the world has ever seen. Ash tells Reggie he believes in him, and the pair chat amiably until Ash eventually falls asleep. Seeing as how it is nearly dawn, Reggie picks Ash up and carries him to the truck. When Ash awakens, the sun is high in the sky, and the truck seems to be exiting a forested area. Paul grunts that it's about time he woke up, but Ash says he's almost disappointed, since he was just dreaming that he beat Cynthia and became the champion. Paul scoffs that in his dreams is the only place Ash will ever become champion, because that's his future title. Ash says that Paul's the one dreaming, since he'll be champion for sure, and they should settle this with a battle when they get their starters, which Paul accepts, with something akin to a smile. After this, the brothers stop in what Ash learns is Floroma Town for lunch, before getting back on the road. Passing through Jubilife City, they're able to reach Sandjet Town by mid-afternoon. Since Reggie is already a trainer, he knows the way to Rowan's lab, and pulls up outside without any issues. The trio enter and are greeted by Professor Rowan himself, who asks if the two younger boys are ready to get their first Pokemon. The twins say they are, and Rowan leads them to a table, where a Piplup, a Turtwig, and a Chimchar are located. Paul goes first, and like in the main timeline, picks Turtwig, while Ash says he is fine since he wanted a Piplup anyway. I feel like now would be a good time to explain myself, since many probably assumed he'd want a Chimchar. My reasoning for this is simple. In canon, Ash wanted the water-type Squirtle, so I can see him having the same preference despite coming from a different region. Rowan also gives the twins a Pokédex each, and a set of Pokéballs, as the brothers prepare for their battle. Having only one Pokémon each, it's Turtwig versus Piplup. Turtwig opens with a Razor Leaf, while Piplup uses a Bubble Beam. The two moves clash, with Turtwig's breaking through and doing super effective damage. Ash tells Piplup not to give up, but Paul wastes no time with encouragement, simply saying to use Razor Leaf again. The attack hits, and Piplup is definitely looking bad now. Ash asks Piplup to use Peck, but Paul tells him he needs to command his Pokémon, not ask it, and demonstrates by commanding Turtwig to hit with a third Razor Leaf. As Piplup runs into Peck, the sharpened leaves strike true, and Piplup faints. Paul chides Ash on his technique, but also said he was foolish to choose Piplup, since he knew Paul had chosen Turtwig and could have given himself a type advantage. Ash snaps that Paul never cuts him any slack, but Paul retorts he's helping his brother, and that he wouldn't have to be so hard on him if Ash used his brain. Paul then thanks Rowan for his Turtwig and leaves, while Ash cradles his Piplup and follows. Outside, Reggie congratulates his brothers on getting their starters, and expresses his wish to go with them when they start their journey, but he's got to catch a boat to Kanto to earn his final Frontier symbol. Ash says he wants to come with him, but Reggie tousles his hair and says that Ash and Paul should be having adventures, not being stuck on a boat with their lame older brother. He does, however, promise to get the twins' plane tickets, so they can come and watch his match when he and Brandon iron out the details. Paul bids him safe travels, and Reggie drives away, while Ash and Paul start making their way up Route 202. On the route, Paul immediately catches a Starly. Like usual, he does look for the strongest Starly he can find, but he only catches one, which he plans to train to utilize its innate potential, rather than the multi-capture and scan approach. A little further down the route, Ash gets in on the fun, catching a Shinx, and so the brothers each have two Pokemon. Having been prepared by experienced traveler Reggie, the twins have no problem setting up camp when night falls. Together they make a campfire dinner, and Ash asks Paul what he meant earlier about helping him. Paul, in his usual blunt way, calls Ash the weakest link of their family. Ash gets mad, but Paul tells him to shut up and let him finish. Paul reiterates that Ash is the weak link, since he lets his emotion cloud his analytical thinking, causing him to make foolish mistakes and not live up to his potential. But luckily for Ash, the way chains work is for the other links to pick up slack for the weakest link, so they can all do their jobs. Ash thinks he understands, and tells Paul he'll repay the favor by helping with some of his weaknesses. Paul looks confused about what weaknesses Ash is referring to, and Ash says Paul's too caught up in his own head, and this makes him appear standoffish and rude to people who don't know him as well as Ash does. With a sigh, Paul agrees to work on this if Ash tries to keep his head and be more analytical. The twins shake on it, then go to sleep. Thanks to Paul's practicality, the twins make good headway the next day and discover a shortcut through Bewilder Forest. Ash is a bit hesitant due to rumors of Stantler brainwashing people, but Paul says he has a plan. Trusting his brother, the duo enter the woods. Before long, they encounter a Stantler, and Paul puts his plan into action. Before the Stantler can use its psychic powers, Paul has his new Starly use Aerial Ace to put it off balance, and throws a Pokeball and adds Stantler to his team. At once, he brings Stantler out, ordering it to use its powers to ward off any other Stantler in the area. Ash exclaims that Paul's plan is brilliant, and Paul tells him it's just basic logic and to learn from it. Thanks to Stantler's protection, the brothers are able to pass through the rest of the forest without any challenges, and from there, it's a straight shot to Jubilife City. Within 2 days, Ash and Paul reach their destination. While visiting the Pokemon Center, Ash sees a poster that the Sinnoh League is about to start its next season, and eagerly tells Paul they should enter. Paul says there's no point since Cynthia is the strongest champion, and they'd be smarter facing a few other regional leagues first, and building up their strength before going after the best. But Ash won't let it go. He remembers his dream from the other day, and says he knows in his gut that if they do the league now, they'll win. Paul scolds Ash once again for not using his head, and says it's impossible for them both to win, but eventually agrees, saying that if it will shut up Ash, he'll go along with it and see how much stronger he can get. The pair then register with Nurse Joy and spend the night at the Pokemon Center. The next day, Ash wakes Paul early, saying they need to get going if they want to earn a badge or two to show Reggie when they reunite. Paul is actually impressed by this forward thinking, and for once, follows Ash's example. The pair travel along Route 203, but since they see no Pokemon they want to add to their teams, it's a straight shot towards Ouroboros Gate. When they arrive at the cave, the boys decide to camp out and head through in the morning. Ash wants to have dinner, but Paul stops him, saying if they're going to be challenging gyms, they should start training. Ash likes the sound of this, and so sends out Piplup and Shinx against Turtwig, Starly, and Stantler. Pokemon face off in a series of one-on-one matches that last late into the night, and though the training is rigorous, neither brother is cruel in their methods. Ash is definitely more affectionate than Paul, but thanks to Ash and Reg's influence, Paul is a slightly kinder young man beneath the gruff exterior than he is in canon. The next day, the twins head through Ouroboros Gate, catching a Geodude each, but otherwise having no notable encounters. It is mid-morning when they reach Ouroboros City, and both brothers know exactly where they want their first destination to be. Unluckily for them, when Ash and Paul arrive at the gym, it is a closed sign on the door. So seeing no alternative, they head for the Pokemon Center. While getting their Pokemon rested up, the brothers ask about the gym leader, and Nurse Joy tells them that his name is Byron. She then asks with a knowing smile if they're here because this gym is closed. Paul says that's right, and she laughs, saying Byron has a bad habit of abandoning his gym to go looking for fossils in the mine. Ash asks if that's where he'd be now, and Joy says it's probable. This excites Ash, who runs off, while Paul shakes his head, cursing his boneheaded brother for forgetting his Pokemon. It doesn't take Ash long to find the mines, but when he tries to enter, his way is barred by a pair of miners who say he's too young to enter the mine unescorted, and even if he wasn't, he's not wearing appropriate safety gear. Ash protests this, not wanting to miss out on challenging Byron for such a ridiculous reason, but a deep voice outside his line of sight begins chuckling and asks if he's sure he wants to face the great Byron. Ash says he's certain, and the voice's owner comes into view. He is a scruffy man with wild maroon hair, tattered miner's pants, a white singlet, and a makeshift cape. He says he likes Ash's spunk and introduces himself as Byron the gym leader. Ash asks if they can have a match, and Byron says they can go to his gym right now. Ash fist pumps, then realizes all his Pokemon are back at the center. Blushing a little, he asks if they can have the match in 15 minutes, then runs off to collect his Pokemon. Back at the center, Paul berates his brother for running off like that, and doesn't even lighten up when Ash tells him he's managed to get them gym battles booked for today. Paul reiterates that Ash needs to start planning more than one step ahead, then scoops up his Pokeball and marches to the gym. Ash collects his own and runs to catch up with Paul. The brothers enter the gym together and are greeted by a packed dirt battlefield with lots of rocky terrain. Paul surmises this must be a rock, steel, or ground type gym, and begins formulating his team composition, while Ash just runs ahead to shake the hand of Byron, who is waiting for them. Byron asks if both boys are his challengers, and when they confirm this, he asks who is facing him first. Ash eagerly says he wants to, and Paul rolls his eyes, saying that at least there'll be a tactical advantage to letting Ash go in blind for him. When Paul is in the stands, and Ash and Byron are on the field, Byron explains that this will be a 3-on-3 match, and brings out his first Pokemon, Bronzor. Ash scans it with his Pokedex, and upon learning its typing, meets it with Shinx. Byron calls it a gutsy decision to use an electric type, but Ash grins and says it's more like forward thinking. He then tells Shinx to use Bite. The small cub lunges, and clamps its jaw around Bronzor for super effective damage. While Byron praises Ash's knowledge of type matchups, he does, however, say that Ash could use some work recognizing other forms of strength and weakness. Ash asks what he means, and Byron says there's a reason Bronzor looks like a shield, because its defense is hard as steel. Byron then chuckles its offense is nothing to sneeze at either, telling Bronzor to use Payback. The attack hits hard, and Shinx is sent flying towards a wall. On instinct, Ash runs and catches Shinx, taking the hit for it, while Byron tells Ash he admires his heart, sacrificing his own well-being for his Pokemon. Ash replies that Shinx is putting it all on the line for him in the battle, so he wouldn't dream of giving anything less for it. Ash and Shinx return to their places, and the match resumes, this time with Ash telling Shinx to keep its distance and use Thundershock. The attack does moderate damage, but Byron can see Payback's spooked Ash, and now he's afraid to get in close. Chuckling, Byron has his Bronzor close the distance with Gyro Ball. Bronzor spins like a top at Shinx, who barely manages to dodge, but Byron snaps that challengers need to find their nerve if they won't have a chance. He then calls for another Gyro Ball that hits Shinx from behind and knocks it off its feet. Shinx gets back up, but Ash is still paralyzed by inexperience and unsurety, since neither close combat nor ranged attacks have worked. Byron says it's a shame, since he wanted to face that kid with spunk from the mines, not this coward, then tells Bronzor to wrap it up with a final Gyro Ball. Bronzor flies at Shinx, but the term coward finally gets Ash out of his own head. He tells Shinx to stop it with another bite. The attack hits, grabbing Bronzor and keeping it in place for a moment. But slowly, Bronzor continues its spin, forcing Shinx to twist its neck to keep a hold of its target. Ash pleads with Shinx to hold on, and these words strike a chord with the Pokemon. Refusing to lose, Shinx grits its teeth and begins to glow. It swiftly grows larger, and when the glow fades, its blue fur is predominantly black. With a proud roar, the newly evolved Luxio clamps down harder on Bronzor, causing it to halt completely and let out a metallic shriek. Byron tells it to stay strong, but it's too late. And when Luxio bites down once more then slams Bronzor into the floor, the steel type falls unconscious. Byron recalls Bronzor, telling it it did well, then commends Ash for how he got his spark back at the end. Ash thanks him, saying he realized he couldn't battle like someone else anymore, and that he had to battle like himself, and that meant letting his heart guide his head rather than the other way around. In the audience, Paul harumphs, clearly unimpressed. Byron then calls on his next Pokemon, Shieldon, while Ash decides to stay with Luxio. The two quadrupeds eye each other off, then Ash calls for another bite, while Byron has Shieldon use Protect, saying a good defense is the heart of good strategy. Ash says he's not so sure about that, so Byron chuckles, saying he'll just have to teach the man how much he needs defense. To prove his point, he orders a flash cannon, which hits Luxio hard and begins to push it back. Ash tells it to stay strong, but Luxio has already expended a lot of energy, and now with flash cannon lowering its special defense the longer it goes on, the electric type finally reaches the end of its tether, in a sense slamming into a wall. Ash recalls it with a few words of praise, then says if Byron wants defense, he has a friend who knows all about defense. He then brings out his Geodude, while Paul calls him a fool, asking if he even knows about Geodude's weakness to steel types. Ash freezes, not wanting to admit he forgot this, and just wanted to send out a Pokemon with high defense. Byron tells Ash not to worry, and to remember what he said about using his heart rather than relying on his head. Ash agrees, and tells Geodude to use Magnitude. Fate is kind to Geodude and Ash, allowing the gym to shake violently when Geodude bangs its fists on the floor. Byron says it could be a magnitude 8 or 9 earthquake, as pillars of rock burst from the ground. One such pillar hits Shieldon's underside, causing it to fly end over end, but when it lands, it shakes off this damage and gets back up. Byron commends his partner, calling for a flash cannon to finish off Geodude like they did with Luxio. Ash calls for a defense curl, but Paul points out that's the wrong type of defense, as Flash Cannon sends Geodude flying. But before Geodude can hit the ground, out. Ash's innate gift for thinking outside the box kicks in, and he calls for rollout. Curling into a ball, Geodude redirects its momentum back at Shieldon, hitting it head-on, albeit for fairly minimal damage. Byron laughs that Ash may have found a creative way to avoid losing, but with a move like rollout, he won't win either. Ash says he isn't so sure, as Geodude does a lap of the ring and hits Shieldon again. Byron asks why not, and Ash says rollout is just like him and Geodude. No matter what Byron throws at them, they just keep coming back harder and faster than before. Byron says they'll see about that, and calls for another flash cannon. Geodude comes around for its third pass at this point, its speed and power at the max. In this state, it is able to push through, splitting flash cannon down the middle, and continuing to charge even as it takes heavy damage. Byron and Shieldon are amazed at this determination, and have no choice to stare, as Geodude breaks through the last of the beam and slams at full force into Shieldon. The impact creates a cloud of dust, and when it settles, both Pokémon are unable to battle. Recalling the fainted duo, both trainers' eyes meet, and they send out their final Pokémon. On Byron's side is Steelix, while Ash has Piplup. Byron commends Ash for having a secret weapon, but says not to count his badge before it's in the case, since Steelix is his strongest partner. Ash says he has faith in Piplup, and the battle begins. At once, Byron has Steelix use Dig, causing Piplup to panic and look around for its opponent. Ash tells it to stay calm, but it's already too late, with Steelix emerging directly under Piplup and sending it flying into the air. Ash tells it to fire Bubble Beam, but Steelix is quicker, with Byron telling it to use Bind. Piplup is quickly wrapped in Steelix's metallic tail, and howls as Steelix begins to squeak. Byron says Ash did well, but now the battle must come to an end. He calls for Steelix to drop slam Piplup like Luxio did to Bronzor. But when Steelix throws Piplup, Ash says that he guesses they've both learned some tricks from each other. He then instructs Piplup to fire Bubble Beam onto the ground. The bubbles create a pillow, allowing Piplup to bounce off them and avoid harm. Well, Ash asks, what does Byron think of their bubble defense? Byron admits it's a clever move, but he should watch out since bubbles are easily popped. He demonstrates this by having Steelix burst all the bubbles at once with an iron tail that sends water splashing everywhere. This gives Ash an idea, and he calls for another Bubble Beam. This time it's Steelix. Steelix blocks this attack with another iron tail, but each burst bubble creates more water that fills the arena. Eventually, Byron grows tired of this stalemate and calls for an iron tail of Piplup. Steelix swings downwards, and when Piplup leaps out of the way, Steelix's tail gets stuck in the mud that Piplup had been tricking it into making. As well as acting as a sticking point for Steelix, the mud has a secondary benefit, as Piplup, who had leapt to avoid Iron Tail, goes sliding on its belly across the muddy battlefield. This allows it to build up speed and turn by swinging off the stone outcrops Geodude created. Steelix tries to escape by using Dig, but its stuck back half can't get free, and it causes it to come out at an odd angle, while Piplup easily evades the attack by continuing to slide gracefully. Steelix tries repeatedly to catch Piplup with Dig, but each time it comes out with a little less reach than before. Eventually, only its head emerges from its last hole, and Ash knows it's time to implement the final stage of his strategy. Ash proudly declares that this was his plan all along, to mire Steelix in the mud, and then get it all tangled up by using Dig, which Byron praises his ingenuity. Ash thanks Byron, but tells him to wait until he sees the best part. Piplup then does a wide arc, and slides directly towards Steelix's exposed head. With a cry, it unleashes a barrage of bubble beams that hit Steelix over and over again while it can't move. Finally, there is a kaboom, and when the smoke clears, Steelix is unconscious, and Ash is named the winner. Ash leaps into the ring to give Piplup a muddy hug, while Byron gives him a round of applause. He praises Ash for his creativity and unity with his Pokémon, before presenting him with the Mind Badge. Ash thanks Byron for an amazing battle, and the two trainers shake hands. Ash then runs over to Paul, showing him his badge, and Paul tells Ash that his idiocy actually paid off for once. However, it is clear that in his own way, Paul is proud of Ash. Paul then approaches Byron, and asks when they can have their battle. Byron says tomorrow, and Paul nods, saying he will see him first thing in the morning. The brothers then depart, with Ash still beaming and proudly brandishing his badge. And that's where we'll leave things. What strategy is Paul cooking up to counter Byron's steel types? How will Ash and Paul's respective battle styles develop, thanks to each other's influence? And will Reggie having two brothers instead of one change the outcome of his battle with Brandon? Find out when the journey continues.